It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. A very good morning to you, Martin.
And to you, Kalani.
Thank you very much. Well, the Japanese have officially signed off on South Africa becoming Nissan's battery manufacturing hub for the entire continent of Africa.
Yeah, this is the one-ton pickup, and they're looking now to produce about 100,000 of those a year coming out of the Roslyn plant from 2014. And this is with the full blessing of the Japanese, who now see a very interesting market for the South African manufacturer with a lot going into Africa. And the Japanese were here in full force. This is not only going to be a production setup, but it's going to be a higher local content. So they want to lift the local content of this one-ton bucky. In other words, the South African content will go from half to 70%, which means now we're going to have additional component manufacturers locally, which is also good. So the actual direct employment here will be 800 additional jobs. But when you look down the line at all the service industries coming in and the new component setup, it's more like 4,000 new jobs. And at the same time, they are going in with the Gauteng government and spending $200 million on a new training center. So they want to get those skills ready for expansion here, because the Japanese are quite ambitious at the moment, particularly Nissan and the executives who are out here say they built 4.8 million cars last year, but they want to build 5.3 million they're expecting this year. And they want a large chunk of that, you know, to go into Africa. At the moment, pickups are built in Spain, they built in Thailand, these one-ton pickups, as well as Thailand and South Africa. And the big scope now is to expand the South African situation as part of this overall plan of the Japanese to move heavily as an expansion phase and with an eye on Africa.
Jobs. We want those jobs. Talking about jobs, Martin, the respected McKinsey Global Consultancy Group calculates that Africa has the potential to create, and listen to this again, 72 million jobs in the next 8 years.
That's right. 8 years is not a long time. They're talking about 2020. They say the trends is at the moment, because, you know, we're sitting on a continent which is the second fastest growing region after Asia, so growing at 5.1% with Asia's 8.6%. So they're saying, you know, just as things stand now with the prevailing trends, there should be 54 million new jobs. But if the governments can just tweak this, you know, by just making the macroeconomics a little bit more attractive, doing things with infrastructure, they could lift that to 72 million jobs in 8 years. And they say the big advantage here is to try and get this demographic dividend, because there are young people coming through. And although only 42% of them at the moment have secondary and tertiary education, in 8 years' time, almost half of those will have, you know, young people coming through the system will have secondary and tertiary education, which makes them highly employable. And they feel that the areas where these people should really look are in agriculture, where they say there's a lot of comparative advantage and there could be a lot of spin-off to make agro-processing an additional job achiever, but also manufacturing, hospitality and retail. They do feel that South Africa could do more. That's why they're saying accelerate this business, but get your infrastructure better, because countries like Thailand, South Korea, Brazil, when they were at the same level of development of Africa, they were actually doubling and trebling the rate of jobs, which they feel the African continent could do, but it's falling a bit behind.
Imagine that, 72 million jobs in the next 8 years. That means we'll be pretty much close to ensuring that everyone who needs a job has got one.
Well, they're talking about wage-earning jobs. You know, you find in Africa, these will be wage-earning jobs as well, because jobs are classified quite strangely in Africa. Not always wage-earning jobs. And so there's a different definition there.
Interesting. South Africa's highest technology company is throwing its full weight behind creating a massive Secunda scale complex in the United States of America there, Martin.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about Sasol, and because of this technology they've got, you know, they can convert, as we have been doing it, coal into liquid fuels and chemicals. The big thing now is the shale gas in America. So they want to capitalize on that. And the state of Louisiana is very happy with this technology that Sasol can provide, because they have the shale gas and there's this arbitrage opportunity, because the shale gas is low in price at the moment, and that's all about natural gases being previously expensive until shale gas came along and lowered that price. And then you've got the oil price, which is a high level. So what Sasol can do is create the liquid fuels that you normally get from crude oil, but using the gas. So it's more environmentally friendly. And at the same time, you get an opportunity to produce chemicals as well. So the government of Louisiana is over the moon. And, you know, it's probably an example for our government, because here you get a foreign situation appreciating this technology that Sasol's got and rolling out the red carpet, to the extent that the Louisiana governor, Bobby Jindal, he's visited the operations 3 times already. I mean, to see for himself, because what he wants is jobs, jobs, jobs. And he believes out of this can get 7,000, 8,000 jobs. But the spin-off is the big thing. They're realizing in Louisiana that when you develop your own resources and you add value to your own resources, like the gases that they've got, it has massive implications for your economy. And we know that it would help us now with if Sasol was expanding here, because, you know, we can see current account deficit worsening. And that's a huge role that someone like Sasol plays, because they produce that fuel inside your country, so the money's not going out. But in South Africa, unfortunately, Sasol has gone ex-growth. We jump up and down and say, yay, they're putting in a new coal mine. That is just a replacement mine. There's no growth there. So since this climate change scare, you know, they've been frozen into immobility, because they've got no solution to the carbon capture and storage. They are putting a lot of carbon into the air. They don't want to put more into the air. Therefore, they don't expand. They were looking at Limpopo, where they had the project Mafuta. That is on hold, because, again, they haven't cracked the code when it comes to carbon capture and storage, and they want to do that before they get going. Otherwise, there's too much risk for them. Particularly, South Africa has also committed itself not to increasing carbon into the atmosphere. So that is a pity for us, because we've got this company with the technology, but we haven't got the gas. Of course, we have in the Karoo. If they could firm that up, and we know Sasol is exploring there, and hopefully one day we will get more gas there. And maybe also for Project Mafuta in Limpopo, if they could get some of the coal bed methane gases, it might be an answer. But in the meantime, Sasol's gone X growth here. But huge growth going into North America.
Martin, thank you very much as always. Martin Krumo is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday. Thanks, Martin.